today we're starting this new series that's called Life After Death. Life After Death. And the first question I do have to answer for you is why, right? I mean, it seems kind of a morbid thing to talk about death right after Easter. We had so many like flowers and like, you know, the kids were running around the yard picking up eggs and you had your Easter dinner and everybody is just like so happy. It seems like a really morbid thing. And I do want to answer that question up front because the first answer is that we seem to have, like we, meaning our culture, our people, seem to have this morbid fascination with the spiritual realm. That we have a fascination with the spiritual realm and like what lies beyond. We have so many shows that you can watch. We have books you read, all things about zombies, vampires, murders, all this kind of stuff. That we have this like weird fascination with death. It's a really like weird thing, but it's a very human thing. And I think even in recent times, in the last few years, there's been kind of increased popularity with things surrounding the idea of death and supernatural events and whatnot. That there's something deep in us across like time and religions, cultures. There's just a deep interest in what lies beyond death. And I think that goes for us whether you consider yourself religious or not, whether you have decided to follow Jesus or not. There's kind of a fascination there. So that's kind of my first answer, is that many of us are fascinated anyway with this idea of life after death, or what that question, what happens when we die? The second is this, is that if you're a believer, if you follow Jesus, many of us Christians don't actually know much about what we really believe in the church, truthfully. We have all these other ideas that have kind of come to us over time. Believe it or not, a lot of Christian ideas have been influenced a lot by culture over time. What people have told us or what was said to us. We're kind of like this crock pot of beliefs. And so I think it's really important that in this series we're going to rediscover what the Bible actually says and teaches about life after death. And you may be surprised by some of the things, some things that might be a little different than some of the beliefs that you have held or something that you were taught or said. But the third reason is very personal. And that is that many of us sit here grieving the loss of someone in our lives, whether it's a parent, a sibling, a spouse, a friend, a coworker. You know, some of us, as we get older ourselves or our parents' age or people in our family's age, like we begin to think a little bit more about death in our own lives. And you may be actually walking with someone even right now who's at the end of their life. For a lot of us, it's a personal reason that it's something that is happening to us. We want to know because we're experiencing it right now. So wherever you might be, whether you're fascinated and curious, whether you're uncertain, maybe what Christians actually believe, or maybe it's a very personal thing, I think this series in talking about this topic has really something to offer us. The renowned author N.T. Wright, who's also a scholar, he has said this in one of his writings. He said, "Nothing impacts our experience of life before death as much as our beliefs about life after death." So it's also important. You know, ultimately, my hope is that what we talk about is not just going to be like an interesting thing that you go away and you're like, oh, well, that was kind of fun or cool or whatever. But it, that what Christianity actually teaches us, the truths here, would give us hope. But also to realize that what you believe about what's next actually affects your now. What you believe about what is to come actually affects how you live and how you interpret things and how you look at people now. So today, the first question we're going to tackle is the question, what happens to our body after we die? So, you know, for some of us, it might be, well, it goes in the ground and it like disappears or whatever. So yes, but we're going to kind of go into depth here. But before we get into what Christians believe, what Orthodox Christianity, kind of central Christianity, core Christianity believes, I want to look at first what the culture in Jesus's time said. Because I think this will kind of give you a little background on some of the beliefs that we have kind of hopped on top of some of the core Christian beliefs. So look at what the culture in Jesus's time was saying, that in the first century, so we're talking 2,000 years ago, there were really like two viewpoints about what happens to bodies after we die, about what happens after we die. So the first was materialism, materialistic view, meaning that there is nothing after death. Like, it's like one and done, right? You die, that's it. What you see is what you get. Nothing happens, like the body disintegrates, you are no longer, that's it. That was kind of one belief. The second belief, which is a more popular belief, you can understand, because I mean, who really wants to believe that, like, there's nothing at all, right? But it was this belief of dualism. And this was more popular, meaning that there was a belief that we are made of a body and a soul, that there's a spiritual part and there's a physical part. And that this belief wasn't just about human beings, but it was about the whole world. Everything has a physical part and a spiritual part. And the interpretation, the belief here was that the physical part doesn't really matter. It's just a husk. It's just a shell. That what matters is the spiritual part, the soul part. And so when we die, dualism believes that the body goes in the ground, disintegrates, whatever happens, and the spirit is launched elsewhere into safety. So I want you to think about that for a second, because fast forward 2,000 years, and we tend to have both of those same viewpoints today in popular culture. We have materialism. On one hand, nothing happens, that purely scientific, that you're just cells and things together and you are just gonna fall apart and that's it when you die. But on the other hand, many of us tend to have this dualistic idea of death, is that we're released from the body. You know, maybe you've heard about that. Maybe you taught children about that. Like, oh, we're like a little like shell, like a peanut shell, right? That's, you crack it open and the body stays and then the good part goes away. Like, that's what a lot of us tend to believe. But let me say this, in the midst of that, so this is back in the first century, those were the kind of beliefs that were held. In the midst of that, Jews and Christians believe something different than both of those. Something very different and unique that is the core of Christianity today in our ideas of life after death. And so this kind of third belief was very different than the other two, the materialism and dualism, and kind of disagreed with both of them. First, to say that our bodies do matter, that the material world does matter. And the body is not just a husk, but it's actually a central part and a valuable part and a gifted part of who you are. And the early church believed that after death, the body would be resurrected. That's the third way. That's the third way here. And you know, and when I say that, you probably have a lot of questions. And if you do, you know, you're not alone. We're gonna unpack a lot of this. See, unfortunately, there's a part of the Bible that actually talks about resurrection. Like, what is this? What happens to the body after death? And in the letter of 1 Corinthians that was written by the Apostle Paul, he wrote a lot about this, because a lot of the people at the time, they had the same questions that a lot of us do. Like, if so, then what? What is resurrection? If it's not dualism that we're kind of released from the body, if it's not materialism that is just kind of dead and done, then what actually is resurrection? And so the Apostle Paul, he was teaching in the midst of materialism and dualism beliefs, and he explains about resurrection to this church in Corinth at the time. And so the first overarching question that we can assume a lot of people had, that we have, is, you know, do I really have to believe this? You know, like, I don't know. Like, do I really have to believe this idea? And listen to what Paul says. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12. It's in your worship guide. It'll also be up on the screen, or if you have a Bible, you want to follow along with us. But Paul says this: but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, that we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ, who passed away, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of all people to be most pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So let's just unpack this. So right out of the gates, Paul comes out swinging here. You kind of get that? Like, and even today, a lot of us have questions. A lot of people have questions. Think that, well, it doesn't actually matter, like, to believe in resurrection. Like, I can just kind of believe, like, you know, oh, Jesus was just kind of spiritually resurrected. Like, his body wasn't actually really resurrected. Or we're not going to be really resurrected. Like, we're, you know, they're kind of released from the body and I go to heaven. And we don't think that that matters. And Paul actually pushes back a lot here. Do you get what he's saying, right? I mean, he's like going over and over and over again. He says, resurrection is at the heart of what we believe, friends. It's at the heart of what we believe. At the core of our message is what we celebrated last Sunday, is Christ defeated death by doing what? Rising, by being resurrected. And so if we say, if we don't believe that's possible, then what are we even doing here? Then he was just a man who kind of like died and taught some things and left us. He says, what is that? If none of this is true, then we should be pitied that we're really fools. But know that if he's resurrected, what happened to Christ will also happen to you. That if Jesus actually came back to his physical body, then what happened to Christ will actually happen to us. We will experience bodily resurrection. That's the kind of life after death that Jesus promises. And that goes back to scripture, that goes back to the early church, that goes back to Jesus himself, and that's why it matters what we believe. It matters to believe in resurrection. But then the church, we imagine that they had a second question. First, it was like, does this stuff really matter? And Paul say, yes, absolutely, it does, to the core of who we are. But they had a second question, which was kind of a technical question. Maybe it's a technical question, maybe has come up for you, is what kind of body, right? Like, if we're going to be resurrected, like, I know that grandma, like, we buried her whenever, you know, she's over in the cemetery, like, her body probably is falling apart. Like, what are you talking about? What kind of body is going to be resurrected? Like, am I going to look like a model? Am I going to, like, I don't know. What is that going to be? So Paul actually addresses this. He continues in verses 35 to 37. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? So not new question you're asking. How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you don't plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. Okay, so he says basically a seed becomes a plant, but it's different. But then he goes on here in verse 42. He says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So what in the world is Paul saying here? Maybe you're asking that. Like, I have no idea, right? So basically he's saying that the resurrected body is both consistent with and different from the body we have now. So consistent with, but different from the body we have now. When we will rise like Jesus did, we will be consistent with, but different from the body we have now. And it's weird to think. It's weird to think of that, right? But can I just play with your mind just for a couple seconds? Okay, so did you know that every 7 days, all of the skin cells of your body fully regenerate? So in 7 days, your skin will be a completely new thing. Every single skin cell. Did you know that every 7 years, every cell in your body will be different than this moment? Okay, boop, 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 right? You're like, like, how does that happen? Like, but yet you still exist. Like, how? How is that? Like, meaning you will be a completely new thing, a new person in 7 years, completely. Every cell, every nerve ending, every organ, everything will be completely new, a new person. But you, I hope, will be at least a little consistent with the person you've always been. You know, maybe a little older, right? Paul's saying you'll be similar in a similar way. The resurrected body is consistent with, but different from, the body we have now. And maybe you've wondered this. Maybe you've asked the question, you know, if someone dies young, like, will they be resurrected young? You know, if someone dies old, will their body be resurrected old? If they have a disability, will they be resurrected with that disability? Or the big question, will I still be bald? And those are good. Yeah, I heard absolutely an amen here. So, but those are good questions, and I have to say, Scripture doesn't really answer them. But what Paul is saying, what we do know, is that we have a body right now that decays. And once you turn 30, 40, you know this, right? You're like getting injections, you're getting replacements, you're going to the doctor a little more. When you're younger, you're like, all those old people, all they do is go to doctor appointments, right? And then what happens when you're older? Like, what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, oh, Thursday, I'm free, right? Like, you have all these things. The body falls apart when we're in this world. And we're here and now. We have a body that decays. But Paul's saying that the resurrected body will not decay. We'll be in glory. We'll be in eternity. So now we have a degraded body, but the raised body, he says, will be glorious. I don't know about you. What does glorious look like? Huh, that's an interesting question. The body we have now will be different, but consistent with who we are now. In a renewed way, in a perfected way. That the body we have now matters, meaning that God will recreate a version of who we are right now. And that's why for centuries, a little history here, Jews and Christians decided never to be cremated for centuries. See, and this goes back to some things that occurred with the Romans and the Greeks, who had a very, very different idea about what happened after death. The pagans, they decided to cremate the body because they believed that we'll never need it again. They were of the kind of more dualistic belief that the spirit is released and you don't need the body. You can destroy it. You can burn it. You can do whatever. And did you know that the first modern cremation in the United States didn't happen until 1876? Now, and let me just say this as an aside. I'm not teaching that cremation is bad or wrong. It is a respectable way to handle the body after death. It's more, though, about the idea behind it. That we don't destroy the body out of the place of, oh, you're never going to need that again. It's just a lot cheaper, right? it's out of the belief of, oh, God can do whatever God's going to do. You know, you think of someone that maybe has passed in the midst of a fire or an accident, that the body has been desecrated in some kind of way, that God is not overcome. God can take those pieces or whatever you want to say and redo and do what God only does. It's not out of a sense we don't need it anymore. It's out of a sense of I'm trusting God to remake this body in a new way. That both burial and cremation can be acceptable when viewed in that way. God could create and resurrect a body, whether it's dust or whether it's a corpse. It's not like Mr. Potato Head, right? You know, like taking pieces and putting on, oops, wrong, put the ear up here, whatever. God is God after all, right? That what kind of body will be consistent but different? And the next good question, though, that arises is when does this happen? Maybe it's a question that you have. When does this, how does this all happen? And Paul responds in this way in verse 51. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. So friends, this is really important. And most of us don't really realize this is what the Bible teaches. That most of us tend to believe that when we die, our soul immediately exits the body and goes to heaven or to hell or somewhere. But that's not what Christianity actually believes. It's more so a twofold process, a two-part process when we die. And the early church believed this, that the people who have followed Christ for 2,000 years have believed this, meaning that Scripture says that when you die, yes, your body is in the ground, your spirit does go somewhere. And we're going to talk about that next week, so that's my little cliffhanger for you. It goes to a kind of holding place in God's presence. And let me make a little disclaimer. Not purgatory. So if you're like the Catholic people, like we're not saying purgatory, but kind of a holding place in God's presence and waiting until the day that Christ returns. That's what Paul's referring to when he says the trumpet blasts. When Jesus comes again, he has promised that he will come again and he will make all things right. And Scripture teaches that on that day, all the dead will be raised. All of us will be remade consistent and different with who we are now. That we will be reunited together as with our spirit, and there will be a judgment. It's a two-part process. meaning that the body's in the ground, the spirit is in God's presence in a sense of being held until the day when Jesus comes again and in the future and makes all of creation, all of the world, not just you, but all of the world, wearing heaven on earth in a new and glorious and perfected way for all of eternity. It's not immediately, but it's at some point in the future. That's the core of Orthodox Christianity. But then there's the last question. Why does any of this matter? You know, not just when does this happen and you're trying to wrap your brain, but why does any of this matter? Well, Paul says this. He says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then there is the saying that is written that will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin, death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know now that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I love that. See, Paul says this matters for our life now. It matters in I'm going to mention just three ways quickly. The first is that resurrection means we can face death without the fear that many people have, and we can face it with hope. We don't have to fear death. We can be a little uncertain about some of the specifics, but we don't have to fear death. Death is significant, but it's not final. Can I get an amen? Amen. Death is significant, but not final. That it's ultimately a win because of what Jesus did, that he overcame it. He came back from it. And if you've ever sat with someone who's dying, you begin to know what a difference this truth makes. There's a big difference between someone who embraces the faith and the following of Jesus and one who does not. When you're sitting with someone who has followed Jesus and chose to follow Jesus, yes, there might be some uncertainty. There is not a core fear of death. When you sit with someone that doesn't, there's a lot of that. I've sat with both, friends. It's real to understand that the hope that Jesus brings is real and eternal and starts now, but then goes with us. And when someone dies young, isn't it true that you feel robbed? You've had someone in your family pass away at a younger age. You know, the first funeral I did was actually of a six-year-old with cancer. Like, how? Why? Like, that six-year-old, like, he did not have a chance to do the things that all, like, children should do. He never, like, graduated or learned to drive or met someone or got it. Like, he never did. And it can feel like a huge loss, a huge gap. And maybe there's someone in your life that you have wanted that for. But when Paul says, where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting? He's saying and claiming that we need to claim too that death is not a final answer on that child's life. It's not the final chapter. And get this, because of the resurrection of the body, someday that child, he will have an opportunity to do all those things. Think about that. That being back in a resurrected body, in a perfected state of life, all those missed opportunities are not missed forever. The person will get to experience the joys of the life in a perfected way, to once have those opportunities that we don't have to face the fear of, we don't have to face death with fear, but with hope. But then the second thing is that we can have confidence that what we do in this life matters. What we do with this gift, God has given you a gift. He's given you a gift of life. What we do is important. And let me tell you a secret. There's days that every single person in this room wants to throw in the towel. There's across every person's mind at some point to say, I don't know if this is worth it anymore. There's come those points that we wonder if anything that we do matters. But I have to believe what Paul says in verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. To cling to that. On the days that you're tired because the kids have been up all night and somebody's been sick, or you're banging your head against the wall at work and you're not sure, or there's big struggles in life in your family that's going on, to cling to that, to love that, to stay steadfast in that, to know that it's not in vain. The life we live now has eternal significance and impact. That the mistakes we recover from, we learn about ourselves, we learn about things, we discover that we impact others, and all of that will continue in a new way on the other side of death. We have confidence that what we do in this life is important. But then the third thing is that resurrection means that the physical earth and our bodies actually matter. Friends, this is not a husk. You're not a husk. You're not a shell. That Christians for so long have said, at least for several centuries in the recent past, have said, well, it doesn't matter, right? What you do with your body, it doesn't matter what you do with the earth, it doesn't matter. But that's not very scriptural at all. That doesn't go back to what scripture actually teaches. It teaches that it's a gift. You're a gift. Tell the person next to you, you're a gift. Okay, and then turn to the other person and say, I'm a gift. I'm a gift. I'm a gift. Yeah, you're a gift. Did you know that? Like, that you are a gift, meaning that when we take this seriously, that we actually take care of our world. That we want our children and our children's children not to be overcome with horrible environmental effects that bring cancer and things time to the point that they can't breathe. But also personally, that your body is important. That it's important to take care of your body. To be in good health. Watch what you're putting inside of it. That other places it describes as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body's a gift, so love it. Take care of it. But also look at others too, just what I told you, as gifts. A gift that's given to you. A gift that is given to the world. See, what you believe about what's next affects your now. It affects your now. So let's just wrap this up here. So in summary today, what happens to our body when we die? Your body is laid in the ground. The spirit is going to a resting place and a holding place in God's presence, in God's loving arms. And then just when Christ is resurrected, just as Christ is resurrected, when Christ comes back to remake the earth, to bring heaven and eternity to earth, that is the promise that we too will be resurrected. And God, even if you pass hundreds of years ago, and you might say, well, where are all the little atoms, right? Or some of our science brains go, we go there. Well, they're all scattered here. Well, God will remake that into a resurrected body. I'm pretty sure he can do that. But that heaven is living in a transformed body in a recreated world with Jesus as king over all and God's presence for all eternity. And so that's what is the core of what we believe about life after death. Might be a little different than some of the things you have been taught or maybe you've been believing. And I think that's okay because this is something to wrestle with, to chime into. And next week, we're going to talk about that question of the in-between. The question of where is grandma right now, right? Where is our spirit until the day that Jesus comes again? Is there heaven? Are there ghosts for real? We're going to talk about the ghost question. So next week, come back. We're going to talk about that. But today, I want to leave you with the hope and encouragement of the last verse again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, which says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray.